if you haven't found the Facebook group yet, you can. You can join it right now. It's facebook.com/thisstoryisnotspodcast. And remember, if you have a suggestion for the show, send me an email at thisstoryisnuts@gmail.com. Today's episode is about a case that just recently broke in New York. And it's a case that not all of the details are quite clear yet. It is something that within the last few days, they've just been releasing different information to. So I'm going to try to tell the story to the best of my knowledge. And if anything comes up after that, I, of course, will keep you updated. When a human torso is found sitting in a shopping cart in the middle of New York City, detectives are immediately aware they have a situation on their hands. They don't know whose headless body it is or who could have possibly put it there. Days later, a few blocks away, sitting in a discarded tire and amongst some litter, a leg from the same body would be found. The killer would quickly be identified. But who the killer was someone no one expected of such a heinous crime. Hi, I'm your host, Missy, and I'm about to take you on a wild ride. Stories with plot twists, shocking endings, and unbelievable truths. Trust me when I tell you that this story is nuts. At 1:46 a.m. on March 3rd, 2022, a pedestrian would make a chilling discovery near Pennsylvania Avenue and Atlantic Avenue in New York City, right outside of a pawn shop. Something they would report to 911 operators as possible human body parts. And after police would arrive on the scene, they would discover the torso of a woman that had been stuffed inside of a multicolored bag with floral print and then placed inside of a shopping cart. They had no idea who the woman was or who had committed such a violent act. But they also had nothing to work with, at least at first. Days later, and only a few blocks away, another discovery was made. This time, a severed leg that had been placed inside of a discarded tire and amongst some litter. The leg belonging to the same woman. Police would scan local surveillance video and discovered that on February 27, 2022, 68-year-old Susan Layden was seen rolling a multicolored floral print suitcase into a nearby apartment building. She would be seen going in, but never coming back out. And the bag was the same bag that the torso would be found in days later. There was a video of someone leaving with the floral bag, however. 83-year-old Harvey Marcelin. A transgender woman. Detectives would quickly obtain a search warrant for her residence, the third floor apartment at 50 Pennsylvania Ave. And it was there that they would discover Susan Layden's head. According to an article in the New York Post, Susan Layden grew up in a conservative, Jewish, upper-middle-class family in Teaneck, New Jersey. She was a fan of dance, tap, and ballet, and she rode horses. While she was in her 20s, though, life for Susan became extremely difficult after losing not just her father, but also three of her siblings really close together. Susan would also end up getting divorced in 1992, and according to the New York Post, Susan and her only child, who was a daughter, had been long estranged. Susan had also owned a business at one point called Jewels and More, but then again, at one point, she was forced to close the business down. Prior to her death, Susan had become an advocate for the LGBTQ+ community and was living in Stonewall, an elderly housing development in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Harvey Marcelin was immediately arrested and charged with concealment of a human corpse. Later, charges would be changed to that of second-degree homicide. But this wouldn't be the first time that Harvey was facing murder charges. It would, in fact, be the third. Harvey Marsalin has had a history of crime. In 1957, Harvey faced felony assault charges, and years later in 1963, a rape charge. 1963 would also be the first time that Harvey would face a murder charge for the murder of Harvey's ex-girlfriend, a woman named Jacqueline Bonds. Jacqueline had told Harvey 6 weeks prior to her death that she no longer wanted to date Harvey, to which Harvey would reply, "I'll get you." On April 18th, 1963, Harvey would take a .32 caliber revolver into Jacqueline's apartment building at 2216 8th Avenue in Manhattan and shoot Jacqueline in the public hallway. She would then follow her into the bedroom, firing again. Jacqueline would stagger out into the living room and collapse from a total of 3 gunshot wounds. During the trial, the defense would attempt to plead insanity, stating that Harvey had voluntarily admitted herself into Bellevue Hospital a year prior, and that with medication she had done very well. But a psych evaluation found that Harvey was not psychotic, and instead she was sentenced 20 years to life in the death of Jacqueline Bonds. Harvey was released in 1984 after serving 21 years in prison and placed on lifetime parole for the murder. However, Harvey didn't stop there. In 1985, just 1 year after her release, Harvey would go on to murder yet another woman, possibly another girlfriend of Harvey's, who Harvey had stabbed to death, placed inside of a trash bag, and left next to Central Park. The second woman's name was not released, and Harvey was charged with manslaughter in this case, and sentenced anywhere from 6 to 12 years for the second murder. State officials were reluctant to grant parole to Harvey in the 1990s. Harvey had a habit of placing the blame on the victims and even admitted at a parole board hearing in 1997 that she had, quote, problems with women. According to the New York Times, in 2010, the parole board was actually quoted to tell Harvey, "Your release at this time is incompatible with the welfare and safety of the community." However, Harvey was released from prison in 2019 after spending almost a total of 50 years there. There are not a bunch of details currently about what Harvey did the last few years, but police do believe that Harvey somehow befriended Susan Layden on social media about 2 years ago. Her motive for murdering the 68-year-old woman, though, is unknown. Harvey Marsalin and another woman, a friend that has cooperated with police in this case, were also seen at Home Depot buying a Sawzall, garbage bags, and cleaning supplies. Further surveillance footage was also recently released of Harvey shopping in her electric-powered wheelchair, shopping at the local 99-cent store. As she reaches for an item on the shelf, the video shows a plastic bag on the seat. A plastic bag like the one Susan Layden's severed leg was later found in. They believe that at the time of the video, Susan's leg was indeed on the seat that Harvey was sitting on. Investigators in this case are still currently trying to find more surveillance footage of Harvey Marsalin and are also looking into any other missing person cases that could possibly be tied with her, thinking maybe she's responsible for more deaths than we currently know. At the time of this podcast, Harvey Marsalin is currently being held without bail on Rikers Island. And as I said at the beginning of the show, this was a really recent case, so if anything else comes out, I would love to keep you updated as I find out. A way that you can stay updated is by joining our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/thisstoryisnutspodcast. Also, if you have a story suggestion, please send me an email at thisstoryisnuts@gmail.com. I would also appreciate if you like the show, if you like what we do here, please give it a review. Give me some stars. 5 would be great. You know, I would love it if you left me a review. I really appreciate all of you for coming and listening today. And come back next week for an all new episode of This Story Is Nuts. Until then, stay nutty, my friends. We'll be right back. This Story's Nuts was written and produced by Missy Reese, with music by Logan Reese off of Groovepad.